This month, September, we're going to shift gears from what we've been doing lately and have a different series, a series on the topic of prayer. I find it interesting that most of the time our prayers are for God to heal people or to act in certain situations or to bring resolution to conflicts where there are conflicts. There are a lot of other ways that we can pray, and I hope that this month will be illustrative for us and informative and challenging for us in terms of how we pray individually and as a collective body. You know, you might have seen the commercials on Subway, Subway commercials lately. They're calling this month Subtember, right, because they're doing a special, right? So along those lines, if you will, we might call this month Prayer-tember. Do you like that? Or Septem-prayer. You like it? I don't know. Neither of those really caught. Okay, I thought they might be. September prayer. Anyway, this month there's one fundamental... Thank you, Darren. He's just shaking his head. This month there's one fundamental assertion that I want to make through each of these weeks, and that is that prayer changes us. It is not so much that we pray and therefore God is obligated to bestow blessing on us, but instead we pray and that changes us. So often we see God as like a cosmic vending machine. You put the coins in, you push the right buttons, and out comes the answer to prayer. So we typically ask God for things. But relationship with God, communication with God, is about a lot more than just that. What Isabella read for us from Jeremiah 18 reminds us that God is in the business of shaping people's lives, like a potter is in the business of shaping and reshaping and reforming and remolding a clay pot before it gets fired. And so this God who shapes our lives calls us to be shaped in His own image, to approach the theme of studying prayer and how to pray together and how to pray on our own in ways that are pleasing to Him, in ways that are shaped after His own image. We're going to study four different psalms. You may have noticed the responsive reading today was not a psalm, as it typically is. It was from Luke's Gospel. That's because the sermon text is a psalm. It switched places with the Gospel reading. You might have noticed that. Today we're going to look at Psalm 139, which I'm styling as a prayer of adoration, one that expresses how much we adore our living God. And as you find that in your Bible, I'm going to take a swig of water. Okay. I'll read Psalm 139 from the NET translation. It's going to be a little bit different than what you have in front of you probably, but follow along. It's pretty close, but there are some interesting differences. O Lord, You examine me and know. You know when I sit down and when I get up. Even from far away, You understand my motives. You carefully observe me when I travel or when I lie down to rest. You are aware of everything I do. Certainly my tongue does not frame a word without You, O Lord, being thoroughly aware of it. You squeeze me in from behind and in front. You place Your hand on me. Your knowledge is beyond my comprehension. It is so far beyond me, I am unable to fathom it. Where can I go to escape Your spirit? Where can I flee to escape Your presence? If I were to ascend to heaven, You would be there. If I were to sprawl out in Sheol, the place of the dead, there You would be. If I were to fly away on the wings of the dawn and settle down on the other side of the sea, even there Your hand would guide me, Your right hand would grab hold of me. If I were to say, certainly the darkness will cover me and the light will turn to night all around me, even the darkness is not too dark for You to see, and the night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to You. Certainly You made my mind and heart. You wove me together in my mother's womb. I will give You thanks because Your deeds are awesome and amazing. You knew me thoroughly. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret and sewed together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was inside the womb. All the days ordained for me were recorded in your scroll before one of them came into existence. How difficult it is for me to fathom your thoughts about me, O God. How vast is their sum total. If I tried to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Even if I finished counting them, I would still have to contend with you. If only you would kill the wicked, O God. Get away from me, you violent men. They rebel against you and act deceitfully. Your enemies lie. O Lord, do I not hate those who hate you and despise those who oppose you? I absolutely hate them. They have become my enemies. Examine me and probe my thoughts. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any idolatrous tendency in me and lead me in the reliable ancient path. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise for this word. Form us in your own image, and as we study prayer together, encourage us and teach us and make us strong for this mighty relationship building activity. And give me grace in this hour, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two ways of living in this world. One way is living in humble adoration of God. The other way is not. Not living in humble adoration of God, but rather any of a number of things: denying God, hiding from God, ignoring God, using God, taking God for granted. All of these I lump together in the opposition to living in humble relationship with God. The difference between the two is that one is a way of living in darkness and the other is a way of living in the light. God does not want us to live in darkness. He wants us to have healthy relationship with Him. The reason that we adore God, the reason that adoration of God is so important, is because the practice of adoring God reminds us constantly of who God is. And this is a necessary component to our relationship with God, being reminded of who God is. I love chocolate chip cookies. I'll probably love them a little more in a couple of days. I love chocolate chip cookies, but there are certain ingredients that are required for them to be chocolate chip cookies. For instance, chocolate chips. Without the chocolate chips, they're not chocolate chip cookies. And you need other things, you know, flour, probably, and sugar and eggs and, you know, the things that are required, necessary ingredients for a relationship with chocolate chip cookies. Oh, boy. God have mercy. When Tara and I were in school, college together, every once in a while she would, as we were walking along paths, going from class to class or from our apartment buildings to campus, a quarter mile walk or so, she would remind me to look up. Do you remember doing that ever? Look up. Instead of, as a math major, I was, you know, glued into the sidewalk the whole time. That's kind of that's how it works. But she reminded me to always look up, or every once in a while at least to remember that the sky is big. The universe is big. God is big. And we are small, but God is there. And His love for us is vast and amazing. Remembering God is a necessary ingredient to having a full life. So what does this have to do with Psalm 139? Sorry. What does Psalm 139 say about the nature of God? It says a lot, I think, about the nature of God and who God is. God knows our thoughts. Track with me through this psalm. God knows our thoughts. Even Jesus, when he was being maligned by the scribes and Pharisees and teachers of the law. He knew what they were thinking before while they were having the conversations against him. He didn't have to overhear them. He knew what their thoughts were. God knows our thoughts. God knows our movements. In the book of Job, it's recorded that God counts our steps. God knows everything. He knows all that there is to know. Hebrews 4:13 says that nothing is hidden from God's sight, nothing in all creation. God surrounds his people like mountains surround Jerusalem. That's a phrase from elsewhere in the Psalms. God surrounds us. His knowledge is unsearchable. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how vast are his thoughts. His knowledge is unsearchable. God is everywhere." Jeremiah 23 says, God asks through Jeremiah the prophet, "Am I only a God nearby and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places out of sight?" God is everywhere. God is not stopped by darkness. Daniel 2:22, God reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in darkness because light dwells with him. God is not stopped by darkness because God is light. 1 John 1:5, in God there is no darkness at all. And then amazingly, God formed us in the womb. This is something that we should remember all the time, especially when it comes time for children to be born. God knew us before we were born. God formed us inside our mother's womb. In the ancient Jewish way of thinking, he formed us in the depths of the earth even before we were conceived. And then here we come and here we are. And the psalm in the NIV version here at this point in Psalm 139 says that God knows our inward parts, created our inward parts. The Hebrew language there is God created our kidneys. He formed our kidneys. Why would they say that? In the ancient Jewish way of thinking, the kidneys were the seat of your emotions and of your morality. Today we would say God knows our hearts, the seat of our emotions. And God knows, God made our minds the seat of our morality. Thank you, Leah. I was running a little low. Hopefully my cup will not runneth over, because that's at an angle. Thank you. God has created us, formed us in our inward beings. And God, not just to create our bodies, but creates our intellect, our consciousness, our ability to relate to each other, our ability to make moral choices between good and bad. This is a theme that's repeated throughout the Psalms and into Isaiah and the Ecclesiastes. God has done too many things to count. If we could count all the sand on the seashore, we would still not have counted enough to match all the things that God has done. This is how numerous his deeds are. And yes, at the end of this psalm, there's a challenging piece. Oh God, that you would slay the wicked. God will slay the wicked. Isaiah 11:4 says that God will slay the wicked with the breath of his lips. And so we call on God to make our morals line up with his, so that we are seen on his side. He determines who is good and who is not. God examines our hearts and our minds. God knows us. He loves us. And he will shape us just as a potter shapes a pot. So why do we run? Why do we run from God? Why do we stand opposed to God? Why do we choose to live in the darkness rather than in the light? It is our responsibility to respond favorably to God through adoration of him and through submission to him. We cannot adore God unless we are submitted to him. And part of the task, part of the work of giving praise to God is to say that we cannot do this on our own. Just an hour ago, I was sitting in my office thinking, I can't do this. I can't be here today. And, you know, a little bit later on, I might regret it. But here I am, and for better or for worse, here we are, adoring God with every breath that we have, because He has made us, and He loves us, and He cares for us. God shapes us into His own image, even into the image of Christ. My challenge for you this week is to reread this Psalm 139, not as our prayer to God, but as Jesus' prayer to God. Imagine Jesus praying this prayer to His Father. And see how that makes us think of His image that we are to be formed into. You knew me before I was created, before I was born. As I was being knit together in my mother's womb, you knew me. Well, sure, He did. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Read this psalm as if Jesus were praying it, and then make it your own. God shapes us when we adore Him. We learn to think what He thinks. We learn to hate what He hates. We learn to live how He lives. We learn to love how He loves. We learn to be holy, even as He is holy. So friends, through this month of September prayer, I probably won't stick with that. It's kind of dumb. Through this month, let us not limit our prayers merely to asking for healing or for traveling mercies or for blessings on food. But let us learn to pray richly and thoroughly, beginning with this most important component of prayer, remembering who God is and keeping ourselves in the right perspective in relationship with Him. Would you join me in prayer? O God, we give you praise this day for who you are, for this marvelous word that speaks into our lives, and for your grace which abounds. Help us to learn to pray this month, and give us grace that we might do so every day, to adore you through how we pray. We thank you for your love and for how you call us into relationship with yourself. Continue to draw us into right relationship with you and give us all the right ingredients so that our spiritual lives might be full and rich and complete in you. Form us as you form a clay pot after your own image so that we might be pleasing to you and not in need of being reformed again and again. We submit ourselves to you and we love you. And we ask your blessings on us in these days and in the days to come. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.